you love us. No matter what's going on in our life, what's going on in our emotions, what's going on in our heart, what's going on in our bodies, what's going on in our bank accounts, one thing that we can rest assured in, your love is enough. And that we thank you. Now, God, I'm praying that you would think through my vocal cords, speak through my mind. Thank you, Father, that the message will flow freely with revelation knowledge, unhindered and uninterrupted and unchecked by any demonic or outside forces. Thank you, Father, that all things will flow freely and well. Thank you, Father, that the people will be eternally blessed. And I thank you that we will be touched in Jesus' name. And let the people say, amen. Amen. Come on, get your Bibles in your hand. Hallelujah. Repeat after me. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Pastor Andre, preach and feed me this word. Pastor Andre, feed me this word. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together and make some noise for the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Apostle and elect lady are on assignment in Indianapolis preaching there. And so we give them Godspeed. Last week we talked about race relations, and it was a heartfelt message and piggybacking on what happened in Charlottesville. And many people have contacted me about that message and saying it hit home. So we thank God for that. But I mentioned to you that I really wanted to talk more than just race relations. I want to talk about other type of relations. And so I came up with this, what we're going to call this message, we're going to call this Ruth Relations. The book of Ruth is an interesting book. It's a narrative story, and it's a story that tells a love story with three major characters. The major characters are Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. And I begin to look at that, and I begin to look at the way the relationships within that book and how they related to each other and how those things that they did in the story are relatable to us. And so I'm covering a lot of things. I'm covering relationships. I'm covering all kinds of things. But what you're going to find out, you're going to find that something is going to relate to you in the message. You're going to find yourself in it. And so what we're going to do, we're going to go as far as we can go. I'm not for sure if we get all of it, but we're going to start by doing this. We're going to go to 21 must-have lessons from Ruth chapters 1 and 2. Just in the first two chapters, there are 21 must-have lessons. So each one of these lessons will start with a must, a way that if you would relate to it in the way that it happens in the story, it will bless your life. It will change your life. This message has the power to impact and change your life. So we're going to go through these lessons. We're going to break it down, and we're going to get all that God has for us. Somebody shout amen. Amen. All right, so before we get started, I'm going to start in chapter 1, but I'm going to start in the middle of chapter 1. So let me give you a little background. There's a lady named Naomi, one of the major characters. She was a Jew, and she traveled to Moab because there was a famine in the land. And when she was in Moab, she met a man named Elimelech, and she married him. But through the journey, she married him, and she had two sons. The sons grew up. The sons had wives. The two wives were named Ruth and Orpah. The sons were named Mahlon and Chilion. So Mahlon and Chilion were married to Ruth and Orpah. Naomi and Elimelech were the in-laws. Elimelech dies, so Naomi's husband dies, and then she is a widow. And then not long after that, 10 years later, after the husband dies, the patriarch of the family, the two sons die. So now all the men are gone. Let me pause and say this. Whenever the devil wants to attack, he starts off with the men. If he can rip and pull away the men, then he leaves the women defensive. At least that's what he thinks. So all throughout history, men have been under attack. So all the men are gone. And Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth are the only ones left. And Naomi is talking to the girls and saying, I'm going to go back home. I'm going to go back to Israel. Y'all leave me alone. Y'all don't follow me because life is rough. It's hard enough as it is. We're just going to part our ways. So they cried and they said, we're not going to leave you. We're not going to leave you like this. And she began to really impact them. She said, listen, if I was to get pregnant tomorrow, I'm paraphrasing, but she said, basically, if I was to get pregnant tomorrow, will both of you wait until my kids grow up, my sons grow up, so that you can marry them again? She's like, it's impractical for you to wait. You just need to leave me alone. We've come as far as we can come. Life has turned and hit us with a corner. Let's just put our hands up and go. The Bible says they cried and wept bitterly. Orpah hugged her, and Orpah said, you know what? You're right. I got to go my separate way. And she moved on. Now we pick up the story here in verse 16 and 17. So Orpah had already left, but Ruth said, don't force me to leave you. Don't make me go home. Where you go, I go. And where you live, I'll live. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. No matter how bad it looked, Ruth said, I don't care if I never get married again. I'm sticking with you, Naomi. Orpah said, yeah, you're right. It's bad. I got to go. Ruth said, no, sticking with you. The next thing says, where you die, I will die. And that's where I'll be buried. So help me God. Not even death itself is going to come between us. We see right off the bat, Ruth was a different type of character. So point number one, you must operate in loyalty. Look at your neighbor and say, these folks ain't loyal. These folks ain't loyal. I could say it another way, but I'm not going to say it the way the world says it. These folks ain't loyal. One thing is rough to find in this day and age is a ride or die friend. A friend that says come hell or high water. Or a spouse that says till death do us part. I don't care what it is, I'm sticking by you. And if you're going to make it in this day and age, we got to pull something from Ruth. And we got to say one thing about me. You can talk about me. You can say I'm short. You can say I don't have enough money. You can say I don't have enough education. You can say I voted for the wrong person. But one thing you cannot say about me is that I'm unloyal. Because one thing about me, if I'm with you, I'm with you. If I'm for you, I'm for you. If I say you my dog, you my dog. If I say I'm going all the way with you, I'm going all the way with you, because I have, at the end of the day, I have character trait called loyalty. And what we need some more loyal people in this earth. Not people that will look you in the face and promise you one thing, and before the day closes, they'll do something else. We need some loyalty. So number one, you must operate in loyalty. Somebody holler loyalty. Y'all got to help me preach this morning. 18 and 19 says this. When Naomi saw that Ruth had her heart set on going with her, she gave in. One of the things what Naomi realized is, I can't get rid of this girl. And so the two of them traveled on together to Bethlehem. Point number two, you must have a set heart. It's one thing to be loyal, but it's nothing to have it down in your heart. When you make a decision, not with your head, but with your heart, you make a decision and you say nothing's going to change it because my heart is set. Let me say something real quick and show you something. I got a pen up here. This pen, I'm putting it on the podium. That is not set, that's sit. Because anything you sit, you can pull it back up. The set that we're talking about is the set like concrete. When concrete is in its liquid form, you can play in it, you can ride in it, you can do whatever, but once it gets set,
Once it gets hardened, once time comes in and it becomes unmovable, you can't do anything. You've got to bust it up. And so what you got to make up in your mind, I'm loyal because my heart is set and my heart is fixed. One scripture says my heart is fixed, trusting in God. When you say I'm saved, you got to tell the devil, you got to tell hell, you got to tell everybody around you, I'm not going to hell for nobody. My heart is set. When you walk down the aisle and you make your vows, you got to make up your mind before you go down the aisle. Don't be just so happy to put on a white dress and a tux. You got to make up in your mind, my heart is set. I'm tired of wishy-washy, unloyal, unset-hearted people. We need some loyal people that have set hearts. Somebody say a set heart.
Come on, y'all helping me now. Come on, next verse. It says this:
when they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was soon buzzing. Is this really our Naomi? And after all this time, they hadn't seen her in a long time. It was like a family reunion. The whole town was buzzing. Remember, she left because it was a famine, but when she came back with a lot of trouble, but the town was buzzing. The next verse says this, 20 through 21, but she said, don't call me Naomi. Call me bitter. The strong one has dealt me a bitter blow. I left here full of life, and God has brought me back with nothing but the clothes on my back. She said, listen, the person that left is not the person that's coming back. Because in between the time I left and time now, life has happened to me. Sometimes when I talk to 20-year-old kids and they're talking about all their dreams and what they're going to do and how they're going to go to college and how this is going to happen and that's going to happen, on the inside, something tells me they still don't know that life can happen to you at any time. A curveball can come at any time. Something can throw you off course at any time. One phone call can change your life forever. People you thought you would be with, people that you thought that you would die and they would outlive you, and you get one phone call and it wrecks your whole day, and now you've got to deal with death, and now you've got to deal with the loss of a loved one, or your job gets up and leaves, or your wife gets up and leaves, or your husband gets up and leaves, or your pastor turns a flip and starts acting a fool and the church folds, or your president starts talking about stuff that emboldens white supremacists. You don't know, life comes at you fast and hard. And I don't care how saved you are, it'll hit you and it'll buffet you. And when you try to take two steps forward, sometimes you get pushed back. Your kids will go crazy. Your money will be funny. Your change will be strange. Your mind will want to flip. Sometimes you'll wake up and want to kill yourself. Suicide will seem like the best option, because life can come at you and it can throw you for a loop. And Naomi said, don't call me Naomi, because life has made me better. And then she said, it was God who allowed it to happen to me. Let me talk to us Christian folk. I know we want God to bring us out of everything, but have you ever wondered, God, why did you even allow it in the first place? Why did you even let me go through it? Why did it happen to me? Why did I have to face it? Why did my loved one have to die? Why did my loved one have to go? Why did my daughter have to go to jail? Why did my son get locked up? Why do I have cancer? Why me, God? But here's the thing. With all the stuff that was going on in her life, Ruth still saw something in her. With all the hell she was dealing with all the sorrow, with all the bitterness, Ruth still saw something in her life. Let's go to the next verse. It says, why would you call me Naomi? God certainly doesn't. The strong one ruined. You ever felt like you've been ruined by God? I know by his stripes I'm healed, but I haven't been healed the last 10 years. I know I'm the head and not the tail. I know I'm the lender and not the borrower, but I'm in my eyeballs up to debt, and I'm looking and saying, where is God? So what lesson can we learn in this? Number three, we must know even the best of us get down sometimes. You've got to understand, no matter how much faith that you have, life is still life. And that's one thing that God, reason why God allows life to sometimes be life is so that we don't put so much stock in life. We don't put all our hope in life. Our real hope is in eternity. So at the end of the day, you got to thank God that one day I'm going to leave this life and I'm going to go over to glory. There will be no racism in glory. There will be no pain in glory. There will be no tears in glory. There will be no cancer in glory. I ain't got to worry about my bills in glory. One thing, the reason why God allows a life to come at us, so we don't hold on to it. So we don't think this is the end all, be all. No, baby, there's something to come. Yes, God will help you in this life, but always know there's another hope coming. And one day I'm going to be with my Savior. I thank God weeping may endure for a night, but joy going to come in the morning. One day this will all be over and my Savior will be there with me. There's something, there's a hope to look forward to. But in the process, no. All of us go through something. Even the praise team singers that are praising and look like they're happy, they might be walking off the stage coming to problems because we all go through something in this life. The Bible says Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. If Jesus, the perfect son without sin, if he went through something, you're going to go through something too. All right, let's read on. Next verse says this. And so Naomi was back, and Ruth the foreigner with her, back from the country of Moab. They arrived in Bethlehem. Hold on. Let me read this again. And so Naomi was back, and Ruth the foreigner with her, back from the country of Moab. They arrived in Bethlehem at the... Hold on, let me read this one more time. I don't know if y'all struggling like I'm struggling. Let me read it again. And so Naomi was back, and Ruth the foreigner with her, back from the country of Moab. They arrived in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. All the hell she went through brought her to a place where it was harvest time. She thought that life was dealing her a rough blow, but life was actually pushing her into harvest time. When she got back, when she left, it was famine. When she left, the land was messed up. And so she went and turned her back on it. I'm never coming back to Muncie. Muncie ain't got nothing for me. I'm going away. I got to go somewhere so I can prosper. I got to go somewhere so I can be successful. And then it don't work for you. And you got to come back. And you don't come back expecting much. But when you step into the place, you find out it's harvest time. Let's look at number four. Number four says this. Must be able to discern when someone is getting ready to walk right into harvest time. Here's the thing. Ruth said, I'm going to go with you, Naomi. It was something about Naomi, even though she had been through hell, it's something that Ruth discerned. Even though you're going through hell, you can take me somewhere. Sometimes it's the bruised folk. Sometimes it's the battered folk. Sometimes it's the sick folk that'll get you to your harvest. Don't you step over somebody that's going through hell right now. Don't you give up on somebody that's down right now. You just might be hooking up with somebody who's getting ready to step right into harvest. I know they look like they're broke. I know they look like they don't have anything, but you don't know. They might be moving into something. That's why you got to follow your spirit. Ruth said, I don't care what you do. I don't care what you love. I'm going with you, Naomi. And when she went, they walk right into harvest time. Now, let me pause and throw this on you. Everybody you date may not be able to take you to Ruth Chris right now. They may not be able to buy you the jewelry that you want. But don't give up on a man just because he can't give you what you want right now. Sometimes you got to discern when a man is going somewhere. You passing up the wrong men because he can't pull out 100 bills, but you don't know he got a dream in his head. You don't know. Sometimes you got to discern when somebody getting ready to walk into harvest time. Some of y'all say, I'm sticking with Pastor Andre. I don't know where he's going, but there's something about that man that lets me know if I hook up with him one day, I don't know when, I don't know how, I don't know where, but there's something about that dark-skinned, bald-headed man. If I stick with him, one day we're going to step right into harvest time. You got to be able to discern when somebody is moving right into a harvest. All right, Ruth chapter 2. We're going to transition from 1 into Ruth chapter 2. It so happened that Naomi had a relative by marriage, a man prominent and rich, connected with Elimelech's family. His name was Boaz. Now I want to turn a corner because I just said something about getting with people as far as relationships, as far as getting with somebody that may not have money right now and you can discern something. But I want to throw this corner, turn this corner on you. Number 5 says this, must understand that the family comes with the package, whether good or bad. You really don't have time to be in the back, in the booth, in the corner, kissing and making out. What you need to be doing is, what's your mama like? What's your daddy like? What's your brother and them like? Because when I say yes to you, I'm saying yes to the whole family. You got to understand it is a package deal. Mama and daddy come with the deal. Grandma and them come with the deal. And if perhaps they had a child before you, the baby mama comes with the deal. You got to make up in your mind to know whoever I come with, they don't come by themselves. They come with baggage. They come with luggage. They come with Samsonite. And you got to know, can I deal with the baggage? Can I deal with the baby mama? Can I deal with a man that's always over their mama's house, always talking about how good their mama's food is? Can I deal with a man that'll turn the plate over on my spaghetti and go down the street and eat mama's spaghetti? Can I deal with a man like that? Because it's a package deal. Let me. I don't want to stay on this too long, but let me say this. If Papa was a rolling stone, wherever he laid his hat was his home. It might be a possibility the son got some of them same tendencies. You got to pay attention to the whole family. If the mama goes to the grocery stores with hair matted and breath stinking and she walks around in a muumuu, one day the girl that's looking good right now, she might do the same thing. It's a package deal. So take your time and learn the whole family. Young folk get messed up because we get caught up in the emotions of love. And so we go into the movies and we go on the outback and then we talking to each other and then we parking by the reservoir and we looking at the stars and we kissing each other. But at the end of the day, you need more than that to make it. Baby, I don't want to go to the movies. I want to go to Thanksgiving dinner. I want to go to Christmas dinner. I want to go to the family reunion. I need to know what I'm walking into. Hey, man, somebody said that was just for extra. That was just for extra. Verse number 2 says, one day, Ruth the Moabite foreigner said to Naomi, I'm going to work. I'm going out to glean among the sheaves, following after some harvester who will treat me kindly. Number 6 says this, must have a plan and not be afraid to work it. Ruth said, I know we in harvest time, but you can't get a harvest unless you're willing to work. And so Ruth had a plan. She said, I'm with you, Naomi. I'm sticking with you, but I'm not just going to stick with you and lay with you and do nothing. You older, I'm getting ready to put a plan together, and I'm getting ready to go to work. I know we need more men working, but women, you have to understand, What the world knows is there's nothing like women in the economy. When a woman goes to work, when a woman has a plan, you can change the whole economy because you can make a difference. Madam C.J. Walker, in the times when we didn't have none, Madam said, I'm about to sell some hair products. And Madam C.J. Walker became the first black millionaire, if I'm not mistaken, because she had a plan and she wasn't afraid to work it. Somebody say, work it, work it, work it. Naomi said, go ahead, dear daughter. That leads me to number 7. Must have someone in your corner that encourages your dream instead of killing it. Ruth had a plan, and she was ready to work it, and Naomi said, go ahead. I encourage you. The reason why Ruth stuck with Naomi, because she was an encourager. You got to get all the negative people out of your life. You got to get all the dream killers out of your life. You got to get all the people that talk about a whole bunch of nothing but won't do anything out of your life. You need somebody that when you say, I'm going to do it, they say, come on, I'm with you. Go for it. You need somebody that will encourage your dream. And you ought to have them in the pew next to you. Somebody that will push you forward and say, you can do it. You can make it. I see God turning it around for you. I see God fixing it up for you. Get somebody in your corner that believes in you and believes in your dream. If every time you tell them your dream, they laugh at you, you got the wrong person in your corner. Next one, 3 and 4. And so she set out. She went and started gleaning in a field, following in the wake of the harvesters. Eventually, she ended up in the part of the field owned by Boaz, her father-in-law, Elimelech's relative. She bumped into something. Next thing, number 8, you must know your covenant rights. Now, before I go to the next scripture, I had to come out of Ruth for a second to show you this importance, to show you how powerful what it was. See, the reason why she had a plan is because she understood the law. In other words, she understood the scriptures. She knew her covenant rights. Let me read you something in the scriptures. The scripture says this. Leviticus 23:22 says this. When you harvest the crops of your land, this was a law that was given to all the Jews. Do not harvest the grain along the edge of your fields, and do not pick up what the harvesters drop. Leave it for the poor and the foreigners living among you. I am the Lord your God. To explain this, when they were picking up the harvest, sometimes when you get in the harvest, you don't get everything. And so what God said, whatever you drop and whatever on the edges, don't go back and pick it up. Don't go back and make an extra. No, take what you have, but what's left over, allow the foreigner and the poor folk to come in and get something, because in God's economy, everybody ought to eat. In the democracy, we act like democracy is the best thing in the land. But in the great, grand United States of America, you can, at the White House, if you go to the White House today, go a few blocks down the road, there's abject poverty right next to the White House because they didn't understand the thing that sometimes when you make it, you got to leave something for somebody else. Let me give you another example to paint the picture. Here's the thing. When you make it, leave the door open long enough so somebody else can get in. Don't you just go in. Once you get an opportunity, we run into opportunity and we shut the door behind us. No. Leave the door open. And what Ruth understood, I know the law there. The law says that the foreigner, which is me, should come and be able to get something. So she made a plan, but her plan was based on the word, which was based on her covenant rights. Know what the word says that you can have. That's why I say this is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can have what it says I can have. I will do what it says I will do, because there's some covenant blessings in there. But unless you know it, my people perish for what? Lack of knowledge. So you got to know it. All right, let's go to the next verse. A little later, Boaz came out from Bethlehem greeting his harvesters. God be with you, they replied, and God bless you. 5, Boaz asked his young servant, who was foreman over the farm hands, who is this young woman? Where did she come from? The next thing, number 9, you must look the part. Young women, let me talk to women for a second. You got to understand that every time you go out, you are reflecting your own personal brand. You are a brand. McDonald's has a brand. Ruth Chris has a brand. Burger King has a brand. Macy's has a brand, but you are a brand. In other words, you are the only one who can market you. Nobody can market you better than you. I can say, you know what? Come to my church, young man. I got some beautiful women at my church. Come to my church. I got some beautiful women. That's the truth. I got some beautiful singing women at my church. But if he comes to the church and you don't look the part, in other words, if you look like everybody else, you won't catch the eye. If you look like the girls in the club, he's going to wonder, why did I come to the church to find somebody that looks like what I've already got? I need somebody that'll make me turn my head and say, who is that? Even though Ruth was a foreigner, and even though she was poor, and she was gleaning in the fields, when Boaz looked up, he said, who is that? Let me tell you something. If you got to buy spider eyelashes, if you got to paint your face, whatever you got to do to look the part so that when folk come and say, who is that? Whatever you got to buy, the smell goods you got to buy, baby girl, you can't be out there smelling musty. You got to put something under your arms. You got to look the part. You got to look like what you talking about. Look it. Don't look dumb. How do you look dumb? I don't know, but some people just look dumb. Don't look dumb. Look like you're going about something. Look like you're smart. Look like you know how to take care of a man. Look the part. Let me give you an example. You got a son, 12 years old. You out somewhere in the mall, and the son wants to sit down on the bench and take a break. You get behind the son, and you rub his back. Because some man going to say, if she doing it for the son, she'll do it for me. You got to look like you know what you're doing. It turned Boaz's head when she said, my goodness, who is this? Let's go on to the next verse. If y'all act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about, man, and you're gonna be single for the rest of your life, you better listen to what I'm talking about. Because at the end of the day, I'm your pastor, but I'm a red-blooded male, and I know that some folk will grab your attention at first sight. And some folk, you'll never notice them. Don't be the latter one. Be somebody that you are noticed. Not just by your physical looks, but you have to understand, we have an aura about ourselves. If you look unconfident, nobody wants folk unconfident. You got to walk in the room and command the room when you step in the room. Folk ought to look and say, my goodness, who is that? Where did they come from? Look it. Look the part. All right. Amen. Somebody going to catch it. 6 and 7, the foreman said, why? That's the Moabite girl, the one who came with Naomi from the country of Moab. She asked permission. Let me glean, she said, and gather among the sheaves following after your harvest. She asked permission. Number 2, she's been at it steady ever since, from early morning until now, without so much as a break. Ruth was not playing around. Number 10, must know laziness is a bad look. You got to be willing to outwork. Sister Ruthie said you got to give 100% wherever you go, because what you do is a look. And when you're lazy, that's a bad look to have, especially for a woman, a Christian woman. That should have been a Proverbs 31 woman. A Proverbs 31 woman, that's a woman that gets down. She can slay in the kitchen. She can slay in the bed. She can slay in the boardroom. She can slay wherever she goes, because she's not lazy and trifling. She know how to work and not take a break if she don't have to. She know how to get stuff done. Laziness is a bad, bad look. It's a bad look for a man. And sometimes men are more, but it's really bad when you got a lazy woman. That's really bad. But I ain't got time to get on that, because I don't want to step on nobody's toes, but it's a bad look. 8 and 9 says this. Then Boaz spoke to Ruth. Listen, my daughter, from now on, don't go down to any other field to glean. Stay right here in this one and stay close to my young women. Watch where they are harvesting and follow them. The next verse says, and don't worry about a thing. And don't you worry about a thing. I've given orders to my servants not to harass you. When you get thirsty, feel free to go and drink from the water buckets that the servants have filled. Number 11, you must know favor will find you if you get in the right field. If you get in the right place, favor will find you. Boaz said, I know she's a foreigner, but we're not going to treat her like a foreigner. I want whatever she wants, I want you to make it happen for her. And I want you to know your Father God has favor waiting on you, but you got to get in the right field. You got to get out of the bed that don't belong to you. You know he married. You got to get out of the bed and get in the right field. You got to get out of the junk you in and get in the right field so you can get the blessing that God has assigned for you. Well, Pastor, I'm not in the wrong bed. Well, maybe I'm talking to somebody in television land. I'm talking to somebody. Stop being the side chick. Stop playing the fool. Get in the right field and favor will find you. I didn't say money. I said favor. We ain't talking about just money. I'm talking about favor. I'm talking about when you wake up, the birds do you good. I mean, they drop stuff for you. I'm talking about favor, all kinds of favor. I'm talking about dogs won't even poop in your yard. They'll walk around and go to another yard. Favor from God. When you get in the right place, you'll find some favor from the Lord. I wish I had a church that wanted to go somewhere with me this morning. Number 10. She dropped to her knees, then bowed her face to the ground. How does this happen that you should pick me out and treat me so kindly, me a foreigner? Number 12, you must show gratitude. Ain't nothing worse than somebody getting favor and they act like you ain't done nothing for them. You want me to drive you all over town, and then I'm not going to ask you to pay for gas, but you don't even act like you even think about it. No, you got to be grateful. You got to be, I'm so grateful that you stopped by and picked me up. I'm so grateful that you called me. I'm so grateful that you thought about me. When you have an attitude of gratitude, you will change your altitude. You'll go far as long as you are grateful. There's nothing like an ungrateful person who will take a blessing and walk away and act like you ain't done nothing for them. What Ruth did, the Bible says, she dropped to her knees and said, thank you for treating a foreigner like me so good. My mama used to tell me, stop smelling yourself. You're not as cute as you think you are. You're not as great as you think you are. When somebody blesses you, you ought to show some gratitude. When a man opens the door for you, I don't care if you plan on getting with him or not. The fact that he opened the door for you, open up your mouth and with your lazy self and at least say thank you. Show some gratitude. Now, I'm still wanting to be saved from this, but when I open the door for a woman and they don't say thank you and don't acknowledge me, I want to slam the door right back. I know that ain't God. I'm trying to pray and get that out of my spirit. But you don't like ungrateful people. Do y'all like ungrateful kids? Well, God is your father, and he don't like ungrateful kids either. Show some gratitude. Next verse says this. 11 and 12, Boaz answered her, I've heard all about you. Heard about the way you treated your mother-in-law after the death of her husband. Here's the thing. When you do good for somebody, the word will spread. And how you left your father and mother and the land of your birth and have come to live among a bunch of total strangers. Boaz says something that the Bible hadn't said to us. It didn't let us know that her mother and father were still living. Her mama and daddy was still alive, but she saw something in Naomi and said, mama and daddy, I'm going with mother-in-law. Let's go to the next one. It says this, God rewards you well for what you've done and with a generous bonus besides from God to whom you've come seeking protection under his wings. This is coming all from the Message Bible. I like the way the Message Bible breaks it down. Number 13 says this, must know the God who sees in secret will reward you openly. Don't you quit. Don't you stop being kind. Don't you stop being good to people. Don't you stop holding people's secrets and not gossiping about people. Don't you stop giving in the offering. Don't you stop sticking your hands up. Don't you stop praying in your car and praying in the shower and praying while you're washing dishes, because the God that sees in secret will reward you openly. And Boaz said, I done heard about you. She didn't know who he was, and she didn't know what she was walking into. She kind of lucked into it. But he said, I heard about you. Because the first thing he did, he said, who is this? And let me let you know something. Somebody will tell on you. When somebody says, who is Andre? Somebody going to say something. And if you have a good track record, there are going to be a few liars, but the overwhelming majority is going to tell people who you really are, and your reputation will precede you. The God that sees in secret will reward you openly. Somebody missed an opportunity to holler because you've been gone by yourself. You've been stressed out. You've been doing all kinds of stuff, and I'm letting you know that God sees it. God hasn't forgot about you, and he's going to reward you, but he's waiting. He's going to put you on Front Street and reward you openly. Somebody said, I'm ready for my reward. Verse 13 says, she said, oh, sir, such grace, such kindness. I don't deserve it. You've touched my heart, treated me like one of your own, and I don't even belong here. Number 14, must not get the big head, but give the grace of God the credit. One thing she said, I don't even deserve it. This is not because of how smart I am. It's not because of how cute I am. It's not because I got my face beat and I got my eyebrows threaded. It's not because my hips are on lock and I got Spanx hiding all my extra jiggles. It ain't got nothing to do with this. The only reason why I'm getting blessed, it is the mercy of God. It is the grace of God. Only God could do this. You got to make up in your mind, whatever God does for me, I'm going to give him the credit. Grace, grace, because God has made a way for me. Come on, I feel like coming down and giving you a high five. Come on, give me a high five. Grace will do it. Grace will turn it around, but you got to give credit. Some people get the blessing, and the first thing they talk about, well, you know, I prayed 12 days. But shut up and tell folk it was God that came through for me. Because I don't care how long you pray, if God don't step in your situation and make a difference, it's always the grace of God that does it and brings you out. Amen. Thank God for the grace of God. Number 14 says this, at the lunch break, Boaz said to her, come over here, eat some bread, dip it in the wine. Here's the thing, wait a second. She working in this field, and she nothing but a foreigner, but that's like the CEO of the company coming down to the break room and saying, no, don't eat in the break room. You come eat in my office. You come dip where I dip. You come sup where I sup. You don't know what God is doing. You don't know who sees you, because when God getting ready to bless you, he can take you from the bottom, being the janitor, and make you the business owner, because when God getting ready to bless you, can't nobody stop it. Next verse says this. So she joined the harvesters. Boaz passed the roasted grain to her. She ate her fill and even had some left over. Number 15, must not get shy now. Let me give you a quick example to help you understand that. Me and Devin's first date, I took her to her, when I first started dating her, she was still in high school, and I had just come back from my first year of college, and she was still in high school. And so we went to her prom type thing, and her prom thing was a buffet. And so I went and I paid for the buffet, and we get there and they got all this food. It was Wellovers. Anybody know, remember Wellovers? All this food, and all Devin got was a plate of salad. Now, she was trying to look modest. But what I was thinking, this girl done wasted my money. All this food, and you got lettuce and a tomato. But the Bible says when Ruth got there, the Bible says she ate till she was full. Don't get shy now. When it's your time to eat, baby, eat. When it's your time to get blessed, get blessed. Don't back up now. Somebody say, you know what? I want to bless you and your family. Y'all starving. Y'all down to ramen noodles. Don't be like, well, God will make a way. No, excuse me, Negro, go get that food. Eat. Go eat. Don't get shy now. 15 and 16 say this. When she got up to go back to work, Boaz ordered his servants, let her glean where there's still plenty of grain on the ground. Make it easy for her. I do want to say something. She ate, but evidently when she ate with class. You can eat, but don't be belching and farting at the table. No, no, baby girl. Eat, no, no. If you got to Google it ahead of time, know which fork goes where. Know how to put the napkin where. Read the menu before you get there. Eat. Don't be afraid to eat, but eat with class so you get invited back. Amen. I didn't even mean to throw out in all that. You know, when Devin's not here, I get a little loose. Y'all don't tell on me. Better yet, pull some of the good stuff out and leave it for her to glean. Give her special treatment. Number 16, must know sometimes favor just ain't fair. Out of all the foreigners and all the poor people, Boaz said, that girl there, give her special treatment. Favor ain't fair. Next thing, 17 through 18 says this. Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. When she threshed out what she had gathered, she ended up with nearly a full sack of barley. The next verse, she gathered up her gleanings, went back to town, and showed her mother-in-law the results of her day's work. She also gave her the leftovers from her lunch. When Ruth was eating, she wasn't just thinking about herself. She ate, but she put something back. She ate, but she said, can I get a doggy bag? She ate, but said, can I put something back? Not for her. And here's number 17, must be willing to share with those who helped you get to where you are. There's nothing worse than having people that get blessed and forget where they came from. And let me tell some of you young millennials who think you're about to be successful and do all this stuff. Don't forget the mama that carried you for 9 months. Don't forget her. When I first got my first job, I made sure to put some money in mama's hand, because if it wasn't for mama bathing me and mama washing me and mama telling me to pull my pants up and brush my teeth and put deodorant, boy, you too musty. If it wasn't for mama, I wouldn't be where I am. Don't forget where you come from, and wherever you go, save something back for the people that helped get you there. And guess who that includes? That includes your pastor, who preaches like a fool every day, sweating and hollering. When you get blessed, don't forget me and somewhere sipping Bahama Mamas and you ain't been back to church in 6 years. No, don't forget where you come from. Come back to DT and have some leftovers for the people that helped you get where you got. Amen. Amen, Andre. And one thing that's happened in the African-American community, we wanted to get out, and it's okay to get out. But don't forget, when you get out, you still need to give back. Don't just get out and not give back. And while I'm saying get out, some of y'all stuck in the sunken place because you done got out, but you forgot to give back. All right, next verse. Naomi asked her, so where did you glean today? Whose field? God bless whoever it was who took such good care of you. Ruth told her mother-in-law, the man with whom I work today, his name is Boaz. Number 20, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, why? God bless that man. God hasn't quite walked out on us after all. He still loves us in bad times as well as good. First of all, Naomi said, this strong one has ruined me. But when this transpired, when this changed, let me let you know something. 24 hours can change your life for the better forever. So let me put it to you this way, like the old saints would say it, number 18. Must know he may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. You may think your life is ruined. You may think your life is over. But 1 month, God's extreme, extravagant, crazy favor can turn everything around. He may not come when you want him, but baby, when he comes, he's going to be right on time. So what she said, listen, God, he ain't forgot about us quite yet. Next one, Naomi went on, that man Ruth is one of our circle of covenant redeemers, a close relative of ours. In other words, Naomi got to thinking, wait a second, this is a setup. Years ago, when I was first preaching, God gave me this. It may not be a setback. It may be a setup for a step up. Here's the thing. When it looks like you're getting set back, sometimes God is setting you up for a blessing. God set them up to run run right into this man. And if you know your scriptures, it is through Ruth and Boaz that we get Obed. And Obed is where we get David. And it's through David where we get Jesus. Ruth came all the way back and stuck with Naomi and ended up in the line of kings and the line of royalty and in the line of the tribe of Judah. It looked like a setback, but it was a setup for a step up or a setback for a comeback. So God was working the whole thing because you know what? All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. A few more and we're going to go. 19, must know. When you have, let me put 19 again. Let's go back to that scripture. Let me read it again. Naomi went on. That man, Ruth, is one of our circle of covenant redeemers, a close relative of ours. 19, must know when you've walked into a covenant blessing, a commanded blessing. One of the scriptures says God commands a blessing. You got to know that sometimes you walk in, not just, sometimes God does a teardrop blessing. Sometimes he does a raindrop blessing. Then sometimes he does a flood blessing. You got to know that, no, this time, this ain't a teardrop blessing. This ain't just enough to get me back next Sunday. No, this is a flood blessing. You got to know when you stepped into a season where everything is getting ready to shift and change. All right, the next two verses says this. Ruth the Moabitess said, well, listen to this. He also told me, stick with my workers until my harvesting is finished. In other words, he said, don't just come today. I want you to come every single day until the whole harvest is gone. Number 22, Naomi said to Ruth, that's wonderful, dear daughter. Do that. You'll be safe in the company of his young women. No danger now of being raped in some stranger's field. Now, it turns the corner. We didn't even know that they were dealing with that. But here's what I want to give to you. Number 20, must know your days of walking in fear are over because you are divinely protected. Sometimes we don't want to step out because we done had so much tragedy. We afraid something bad's going to happen. Stop worrying all the time. Every time you close your eyes that something bad's going to happen. I'm going to get robbed. Did I lock all the doors? Did I close all the windows? I watched a Lifetime movie and somebody climbed in the window and stabbed somebody. Stop being so fearful. You got to understand he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I am protected from God. I'm not afraid. I don't care who's shooting where. I don't care who's doing what. The God that stands with me, he's going to protect me. I'll be protected all the days of my life. When I get on the plane, everybody on the plane going to get on the destination because I got on the plane. And when I got on the plane, I got on with my God. When I drive down the highway, I don't care who wrecks. I'm not going to wreck because I will not fear. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they cover me. It's time out for fear. Somebody say it with me. Say, no fear here. Say it again. No fear here.
No fear here.
All right. We're closing with this. 23. So Ruth did it. She stuck close to Boaz. Young women gleaning in the fields daily until both the barley and the wheat harvesting were finished. And she continued living with her mother-in-law. She was blessed. Number 21. Must stick with the blessing. But always remember the loyalty that got you there is the loyalty you need to keep you there. The first one we talk about, you said you got to be loyal. But here, no matter how much she was blessed, she stayed with that woman. And I don't care what you do, whoever God has assigned to you to be loyal to, you stay loyal to it because what it takes to get you there is what it takes to keep. Honey, if I prayed you out of sin and hell and baptized you and married and buried your family, don't get a mansion on the hill and forget about me then. No, stay with the horse that brought you. Stay with the one that brought you. And let me say this, you men that get blessed and you get in your 50s and have a midlife crisis and want to trade your wife in for some 20-something and want to buy you a Corvette and let your hair down, don't be no fool. Stay with the one that got you there, the one that fed you. Don't you trade and be a traitor now. The loyalty it took to get you there is the loyalty it'll take to keep you there. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Ruth relations. I'm sure we was able to relate somewhere in that message. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. God, you're getting ready to do some things in all types of relationships. Our relationship with our spouses, our relationship with being single. Some people are moving from singlehood and going to get married. We don't know when. We don't know how. We don't know where the folk are. But we do know that, God, you're getting ready to put some families together. You're getting ready to turn some things around. Some people are going to have relationship with business ideas, and people who are in business, stuff is going to happen. So, God, let us remember these 21 things so that we can walk through this from chapter 1 to 2. And always remember, we can go back to Ruth 1 and 2 and look at this story and see there is a way to walk in the favor of God and not lose your character in the process. God, we don't want to be blessed and lose our character. We don't want to be blessed and lose our mind. We want the blessing, but we still want the blesser. In Jesus' name, and let somebody shout, amen and amen.